have more time for catching up and giving hugs. Speaking of catching up and giving hugs, yesterday I wasn't able to join everyone in marching because I was celebrating my pride and joy, my surrogate daughters. We had a visit yesterday with my daughter and my surrogate daughters and their mom, and it was really, really lovely and so nice to catch up with them. Okay, our scripture today comes from Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through chapter 10, verse 12. The workers are few. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Jesus sends out the 12. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus. Simon the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts, no bag for the journey or extra shirt or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting.
This has been a test to see if you all have been aware, but that was last week's text. Okay. So guess that it's not you, because that's what's printed. So let's try it again. Okay. I'll do it. I want to do my reader's theater. I'll get into character. Okay. Let me get in the right text though. There we go. I was gonna read you Genesis. I'm gonna not do that with today. Here we go. A disciple is not above a teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher and the slave to be like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? And even the hairs on your head are all counted. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. The one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for the sake of mine will find it. I'm so excited that Flo got to speak on choice yesterday because I used to work for Planned Parenthood. And when I worked for Planned Parenthood, I was the chaplain. Who knew Planned Parenthood had a chaplain? Yes. And I was the first one in the country. Yes. And what my job was to organize religious folks on how to speak from a religious perspective on choice. Because all of our religions have varying thoughts on it. And as we know, even Christianity has varying thoughts on it. So I'd be around and I'd be doing my panels and saying stuff. And the first thing I would say is, I don't think any of you really want to be a Christian because it's really hard. It's really hard to be anti-society. It's really hard to be anti-empire. It's really hard to be anti-consumer. Any of you that think it might be easy, even though, and most of us hear from kind of the side that makes it all easy, it's not. Not if you truly want to follow Jesus. And that's what this text is all about. He's not anti-family. He's, look, the world can be really harmful. And it was really harmful for folks in first century CE, however you want to put this. And how it was, remember, we've gone through this. If you were married, and these are heterosexual marriages, and they're not even really marriages the way we think about them. They're economic, bringing together economics people, bring people. A girl had a dowry at which she had to offer the other family. And so, and it's usually a girl because she's a teenager, and she's marrying a man, and she's marrying into that family, and then she is part of that family and goes with that family wherever they live. That's the importance of the Abraham story that's before. But so it's not a family like most of us have grown up with. And in fact, really not even a family where the two people in love got to choose. So let's be clear what family meant. Jesus has just been about, we just got a review of last week, thanks Carrie, of, right, calling the disciples. Now Jesus is saying, we're going to start our own family of choice. We're going to start kind of a community that will take care of each other because some of us get lost in the cracks. Some of us lose our spouse, so we're no longer part of a family. Some of us maybe never had someone to negotiate that we could be married in the first place. So Jesus, last week, calls the disciples, and they're all named. And then there's also the ones that are unnamed, Mary Magdalene and other folks. Most likely she was their financial supporter. Stay tuned for that one. So we've got that. And now this week, Jesus is like, okay, go. Go serve. Go do. You've been following me. We've been going through this for week after week after week. I keep telling you, y'all can do it. And then now he's saying, go do it. And not only do I want you to do it, you're probably going to take some hits. You're probably going to have people call you names. You're probably going to have people that maybe want to call you incompetent because you're not doing it. You're probably going to end up speaking out on things that aren't popular because it's the right thing to do. Let me put it in today's terms. We just experienced Pride Weekend, Pride Month. It's Pride Month. But do we know why it's Pride Month? I know some of us do. Don't tell, because I'm going to tell. It's Pride Month because on June 28th of this month, we are going to remember what some call the Stonewall Riots. I'm going to call it the Stonewall Liberation Party. Anyone not know what Stonewall was or is? Well, I'm going to say most of us don't, because most of us don't. So I'm going to tell you about it. So back in 1969 in New York City, there were only 3 bars that welcomed, and I'm going to say gay people, because to call somebody queer in 1969 was an insult. And so that's why when we're now singing a song, Queer and Quirky, Quirky and Queer, right? and wonderful. That's why you heard some blah, blah, blah. That's why you, internet community, heard blah, blah, blah. Because it's still shocking for some people to say queer and quirky. Amen? Because it was harmful. It was the N-word for gay people. Okay? So are you with me on that? So those folks had to go to bars that were hidden and were not up to code. This is something Jen is going to be posting on our website after I send her this stuff, 3 documentaries on Stonewall. Because we're in an era right now where everyone's wondering, why do we have pride parades? So I'm going to put it out there, let the historians tell you. So we're going to have that up on our page this week. So from those documentaries and from that reading I've done this week, these are things I've learned. One is every night or every 3 days or whenever the police department decided in New York, they would go and they would raid these gay bars. These gay bars were such a secret. None of them were up to code, as I started to say. So Stonewall had no water, had no, people usually took their own glass, and then, of course, no bathrooms. When you hear and watch the interviews, everyone will tell you, it was disgusting. But it's the only place we had, and we loved it. So that's the setting. People who are not being acknowledged as fully human are in a dirty bar, but they're there with their family of choice. So one night on June 28th in 1969, the police were giving the order. Oh, and this is how it worked. This is before June 28th, 1969. It'd be known, the police would come, they would raid, they would tell everybody in the bar, go out, step out, we're going to write you a ticket, leave, or we will write you a ticket, or we will arrest you. Now, the fear of that happening was detrimental, because it meant they would threaten, if you don't leave when I want you to leave, I will call your employer. You could be fired. If you don't come out of there, I am going to call your parents, if you might be younger, right? If you don't step out, then we're going to arrest you. So the fear was tantamount to not going out and paying the fine. This was a moneymaker for the police at this time. So most hurried out, skedaddled out, for fear of being known and seen. Because remember, most of these folks had a double life, right? This is what the closet does. This is what the harmful closet does. They can't literally be outed. That's why words like coming out are so important. That's why words like pride are so important. So you have that threat, so you get out. But for whatever reason, on this night, the folks were so tired of it, they're like, no, we're not coming out. We are done. We are tired of this. And so word spread all over the city that, hey, oh, and then also, as one of the police who was interviewed, he said, there really weren't that many of us, because this was just a routine thing. 4 or 5 of us would go down. Just seeing the uniform, just seeing the threat was threat enough. But when all these people inside the bar said, we're not stepping out, we're not coming out, that emboldened another person, and that emboldened another person, and another. And soon you had this family of choice that said, no, we are tired of this injustice. And the police couldn't do anything about it. So they made no arrests that night. And then, of course, media says there was a riot. But every person that I watched in 3 different documentaries said it wasn't a riot. It was a celebration. And supposedly there was a brick thrown. No one knows who threw the brick. They're like, there were some stones by the trees, but no one threw bricks at anybody. See, it depends who's telling the myth. Amen? So, Jesus is asking us to pick our family, to have a family of choice. Yesterday, we marched with our chosen family. I got to finish the Chuck and Libby love story here. Well, it was a love story for Fairview. So how does a person with blindness march in a pride parade? Well, with the help of his family of choice. And so yesterday, we had our sign. They even some higher up mucky mucks tried to say we couldn't have our sign, our particular sign. I said, sorry, we're gonna. So we did. And then I was ready. I was ready to say why if we had to. So we had Jim Sherry on one side. We had Joe Manzella and Jen Manzella on the other. I know things got mixed up in between. The only point that we all have to remember is Chuck Dill was in the middle. We escorted him a la Fairview Community Church with our big word that says right here, persistence, or persevere, or any, persist. That's, I knew it was the word. Persist right there. And so we persisted down the block in our family of love of choice. So Chuck did 2.2 miles. Hey, what did I do then? I must have done three. Anyway, so Jesus is going to ask us to step out, to be loud, to be proud, to sometimes be quiet and hug, to sometimes just stand on a... That's right. It was Xander that was on the edge. That's right. Xander, because Xander's on the edge, was on the edge helping and did it. And then what did Pastor Monica do? One of her favorite things that she loves to do. I passed out Skittles. I went up. So I got behind. They all left me. But that's okay because you were in a family of love. Because what I did was said, happy pride, here's your Skittles. Happy pride, here's your Skittles. To any person that I could, because we weren't supposed to throw the candy, so I gave it to each person. And then what did they respond back to me? Love the, what did we do? We love the rainbow. Taste the rainbow. Yes, I said it tastes good. See, I'm funny, right? So taste the rainbow. And people, and then I had a shirt that said, this pastor loves you. People don't know unless we tell them, amen? People don't know unless we reach out and give them a Skittle. People don't know unless we say and willing to say across the world, we are this family of choice. So things are changing. In fact, they're going to change next week. I'm going to be here all by myself. No, I'm just kidding. Things are changing. You're going to be asked to do new things. You're going to be asked to step up. Remember last week we started learning about our field that we have to get ready for people to come? So we can't do this by ourselves, right? Chuck could not do the parade route by himself. It took all of us. I cannot lead you by myself, right? It's going to take all of us. But we'll do it because we are that family of choice. And let me tell you, there's nothing like someone receiving a Skittle saying, thank you so much. And you see like a tear in their eye because a pastor has reached out to them and said, I love you. So we might take some hits. Some people might name call us. Some people might show signs out here and say how many ways we're sinning. But we can take it. Amen? Let me finish the Stonewall story. It was a year later that then the activists that had been there, they didn't go that night to be activists. They were tired. They were tired of being pushed around. It emboldened them. As one said, it was our Montgomery bus boycott moment. It was our moment. So by that next year, three cities had their first pride parade. It wasn't called that yet, but it was called their gay liberation parade is what it was. L.A., New York, and San Francisco. And from then on, that has what has become the pride parades. Friends, I think we still need to do pride. Amen? Amen. It's not just a celebration. It's a movement, and it's an answer of Jesus' call to create families of choice. Amen, amen, and amen.